Let me ask you something. Have you realized that what happens in your mind actually shows up in your reality? Are you living your dream life or your worry life? Welcome to the Dream Team Podcast, where we will reverse engineer what our wonderful and successful guests have done to create a life that they love. So you can too.
Jobs. I was working for Seth Marine, and then I was working. Then they were bought by IBM. So I had I was an analyst working, you know, the 9 to 5. My husband was working for Standard Bank. So again, nice financial corporate, safe, steady, good earner. You know, two incomes, all of that sort of stuff. And it was all great, you know. And we're quite sporty, so we were. Joined the local running club and, yeah, life was good. Good friends, good income, can go and buy clothes whenever I want and, you know, go out and have sushi whenever I want and all those nice things. And this was sort of carried on for, I mean, we were married in 2001, and this sort of went on for a couple of years and we sort of started asking some questions, you know, so when we go out and have our little heart-to-heart dinners and things, and we say, well, okay, well, this is all very well and good, and this is fun, and we were living in Cape Town at the time, which is gorgeous, so absolutely beautiful place, lots of lovely restaurants, beautiful mountains to run in, but there was something missing. So we were like, okay, fantastic, but where's this going to take us? What are we going to do, you know? Yeah. And we sat down and we thought, okay, well, what would we really like to, you know, what's the big adventure? And we both realized that neither of us really knew. So we said, okay, you know what? We're actually going to go away. We're going to go away for a weekend. And we actually took ourselves off to the mountains and a nice little sort of village in the mountains. And we said, okay, we're going to spend the weekend really trying to work out what we want. And we sat down and we had, you know, in this bottles of wine and cups of coffee and all those good things. And we really worked out that we wanted to travel. So, I mean, which is not a very novel thing, but it's a great thing, really great thing, you know. And obviously with traveling and seeing all those lovely, lovely places is the really special part, which is meeting all the lovely, lovely people. I mean, that's the thing about traveling. That's just so amazing.
Yeah.
So we said, okay, well, that's great. We want to go traveling. Superb. So that narrows it down a little bit, but it doesn't really, really give us quite enough direction. So what, you know, it's like, okay, great. You want to go traveling? Well, superb. Okay, what do you want to do? Get a backpack? Do you want to get a camper van? Do you want to go off sailing? You know, do you want to go to Europe? Do you want to go to South America? Do you want to go off to China? I mean, what? So we both decided that South America was definitely, definitely where we wanted to go. We both had a lot of interest in going there, but it was how, you know, sort of how were we going to do that? And that's when we decided on the boat. And we said, okay, well, so we really tried to push everything to one side and not give ourselves anything that stopped us kind of dreaming big. and well, are you all there still? Yeah. We said, okay, well, you know what, we want to do it on a boat and for many reasons, because we wanted it to be sort of open-ended. We didn't know how long we wanted to go for, but also the boat gives you such security because, you know, it's kind of like a floating either caravan or camper van type thing, you know, but you've got your house there. There were a few other things that we realized to consider along the way, but that's another part of the story. So we said, okay, wonderful. We've got a plan. We've said we're going to go sailing and we are going to go to South America. So that was great. And then we sat down and said, okay, there's just a few things. We don't have any money. We don't have a boat and we don't know how to sail.
Oh yeah, that's okay. The biggest one. I think the others are fine.
That's what I was going to ask. Why, you know, if you wanted to go sailing, is because you must have had some type of background on sailing.
So I had next to zero sailing experience. My husband a little bit more. He had done a few regattas and been crew on a boat and that sort of stuff, but he was certainly not a skipper. And certainly not an ocean-going skipper ready to cross the Atlantic to get to South America.
Oh my God.
Yeah, the only thing that comes to mind is Titanic, you know? What?
Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I had such a thing about the Bermuda Triangle when I was a child. It was intrigued me. Anyway. So we said, okay. And then we were like, all of a sudden, you know, we sort of pictured this thing, and then all of a sudden the reality hit us. And this was all the whole weekend, you know, to say we sort of got through the first part. I think we were there for 3 days. I think we took the Friday off. So we sort of got to the dream. We were like so excited. And then all of a sudden the reality that, oh, this is completely ridiculous. Like, are we actually smoking our socks? It was just insane. And then we said, okay, but just hang on a second. Do we even know how much money it would cost? And we don't. We did not know how much the boat cost, how much money we even had. We didn't know if we sold our house and we sold our cars and we put all of our investments. We didn't know, you know? So it's so easy to just be just stumped before you even start. So, I mean, I really think the fact that we kind of took ourselves away was a real key part of that first epiphany, because as we sat there, we slowly unpacked it and we said, okay, we're going to go home and we're going to work out, because obviously we couldn't do it all right there. We're going to work out exactly how much this is going to cost us, exactly how much money we need, exactly how long it's going to take us to save that money, to get a boat, to get the licenses and all those things. And then of course, then there's the other side of it. Okay, well, not only do we need that, Andrew needs a skipper's ticket. Andrew needs to get quite a lot of experience. We ideally don't need to live, sorry, I was mistaken. At that stage, we were living in Johannesburg. We were subsequent to move to Cape Town, but the move to Cape Town was completely because we knew that we needed to sail.
You needed to be coastal.
Say again?
You needed to be coastal to get access.
Exactly.
Another tiny thing.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Ocean going, not lake going or dam going. And what was quite interesting, you know, so the office that Andrew was in Johannesburg was sort of the head office, and Cape Town was very much the sort of small, you know, the small office by the sea. And a job came up in, I don't know, it was probably about a year after we decided that we wanted to do this. And Andrew was like, I'll do that. And his boss said, what? Why do you want to go to Cape Town? It's like a backwater. And he's like, I'll go. I don't mind. Okay. And it was only, you know, it's like if you are, I don't know if you ever play a game with your kids or in your family and you spot all a certain color car on the road.
Yeah.
Or if you, you know, all of a sudden they're everywhere. Or if you want to...
Yeah, funny that, funny, yeah.
or all of a sudden if you've planned to buy something, all of a sudden, I mean, and I'm not just talking about retargeted ads on the internet, because that's a different story. But all of a sudden, you know, so-and-so knows so-and-so who's got this. Or you see, you know, that Opel, or maybe not, whatever it is, I don't even know the names of cars, you know, I'm so useless. So like that VW, you know, Tiguan or whatever driving up, all of a sudden they're everywhere, whereas you never noticed them before. And it's just that lens, you know, that you're looking through to focus on the things that you need to focus on to get to where you want to get to.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
focus. Good one. Very good point. Yeah.
Absolutely. So that was the start, and we realized it would take us 5 years to get to where we wanted financially, to pack everything up and head off, you know, to our big dream, and we had this amazing plan to sail around Tierra del Fuego and up the other side to Chile and to Peru and all those lovely places. Anyway, we didn't actually get quite that far. We ended up being in, which is already quite a lot of distance, but we ended up being in Brazil and Uruguay and Argentina a few times in each.
Wow.
But that's another part of the story. But so we had a five-year plan, and that five-year plan, and it was quite interesting because as we went along, you know, we kept a monthly record of, you know, of our of where we were in terms of our finances. That was the biggest thing to track, obviously. And people would just kind of like ask us randomly, you know, sort of, so are you guys still going sailing, you know? And we go, yeah. And they go, oh, because we haven't heard about it for a while, you know.
Right.
Like, we're still going, it's gonna take a little while, but we're going. So and at the right time, the right boat came along, which we then fixed up. And we bought a boat in Cape Town, a lovely boat. It was sort first, not an Oceanus, the more
that's
racing.
All right, we won't know. We won't know the difference.
Anyway.
I do want to ask you something, if I may interrupt. Yeah. So how do you manage to keep the motivation for these 5 years? Because it's five years. It's very quick if you want to see it that way, or it might feel like a lifetime.
I think there's a few things. One is life was not hard in those 5 years. I mean, yes, we tried to save our pennies, but we were living a lovely lifestyle at the time. So we were quite spoiled like that. And that was that, you know, that was very fortunate. So it wasn't difficult. But at the same time, as life being very lovely, it was also very safe. And it wasn't, we had this big adventure in our minds, and it just pulled us. I mean, it really did. Both of us really wanted it.
Just the idea of the adventure.
Yeah,
help you to just sail through time.
There we go. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and of course I think it's also because, that was really it. I mean, we just steadily kept on. And I think that's another thing about very often goals. You know, what do they say? You know, you overestimate what you can do in a year and underestimate what you can do in 5 years.
Yeah.
Step by step, one foot in front of the other, and we'll get there.
Yeah.
My husband's got a lovely story, actually. He went to, many years before he met me, he went to hike in to the base of Everest, and he hiked in through the mountains, and it was like a three-day hike, and I think it was like 300 kilometers. And obviously, there's a lot of altitude sickness and even, you know, at that height. And he says, you know, he was by himself, and he stopped along the way at various villages and things. And he says, along the way, he said, you know, so often he thought, I just can't go anymore. And he says, no, hang on a second. He says, let me just take one more step. And he says, I am one step closer now. And that better is good. It's that sort of thing, you know?
Love it.
So that's it. You know, we just kept going, and all of a sudden we had a boat, and we had a skipper's license, and we still had the same small blue car that my husband, even though he was running the division in Cape Town, was driving to work in his tiny little car that I bought from my first car when I came, because it doesn't really. All it does is get you from A to B, you know, it's just a car.
Yeah.
So there was all those small things that we made changes, you know, that were changes in our life because we had this vision.
Yeah.
So then all was going well, and we had the boat, and we had the cushions redone, and, you know, that we unfortunately didn't have the engine change, which we should have done. We had a renovator, which is insane, but that's another story.
You're going to read a book for that one.
Yeah, exactly. That is absolutely 100% correct.
So for the next one,
that is really funny. When you read the book, you'll see why.
I'm buying that book right now. I'm buying that book.
So 2003, and we kept going 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, and at the beginning of 2008 our plan was to leave about sort of mid 2008, and at the beginning of 2008, I fell pregnant with my daughter.
Just to add another level of complication. So what did you do? Did you go like, oh my God, or?
Yeah, there was quite a lot of extreme emotions, shall we say. Well, now, we'd always planned to have a family. I mean, we had always planned to have a family, but it just wasn't right now, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, my kids were supposed to be born in Australia, not like in the middle of planning.
Exactly. So we, Andrew literally almost had a nervous breakdown because I think he thought that his whole life and his whole dream that was in just within his grasp was about to disappear. and we were, that's right, we were going to leave sort of April, May type time, and I think if I my memory might fail me, but around there. And I so hang on a second, I'm just trying to do the dates now. I fell, oh, we were, yes, sorry, I'm getting my Lucy was born, it's 2007, we were getting ready. I'm just trying to work backwards from when Lucy was born. So I fell pregnant in, what's March minus 9 months? End of March minus 9 months.
Three would be, so then six. It'll be like July then or something.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So that's right. So we were planning to leave early 2008. And in July, August of 2007,
you were pregnant.
I fell pregnant.
Yeah.
And after we really, I mean, I didn't really know what to do. I wasn't really thinking about the trip. I was just like, oh my goodness, I don't really know what's happening. I don't know what to do. You know, it's just like, how can we manage with a small baby? Can't manage with a small baby on the boat. And and then we sort of just calmed down to a mild panic and realized that actually it really isn't the end of the world. And people, you know, and people do have children on boats, and it might not be exactly what we planned, but you know what, it's actually okay. So we decided we were going to postpone the trip for another 6 months, and we were going to wait till the baby was about sort of 8 to 10 months old.
Yeah.
10 months old, and that was the new plan. And my husband, through a stroke of genius, because otherwise I don't think I would have lasted on the boat, said, well, why don't you ask your mum if she wants to come along?
Nanny, inbuilt sailing nanny, yes.
And we did that, and my mum, who is an incredible human, said yes.
So, wow, I can't even get mums and have said yes. That's incredible.
Well, I'm thinking that's where you get your adventure-driven.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think
your mother, you know, I wouldn't have said yes. You know, I'm very adventurous, but I don't know, crossing the ocean in a boat with a baby.
I didn't cross the ocean, so we decided that I would actually sail across. That I would fly across, and I actually went to England. So we decided, okay, the trip's going ahead, and we sold everything. We literally sold everything. We put a few things in a garage, in a lockup, and we sold our house, our cars, our everything. And that was us. And we, you know, we sailed out. Well, I left about a month before, because obviously you have to wait and check the winds and all of those good things. And Andrew found three friends that that took the boat across the ocean with him, and they took the boat from South Africa to Brazil. And ooh. I went, yeah, I know, it was insane. I mean, they really had, and they had a huge adventure, and they had a couple of really big storms, and they had no autopilot, so they steered, one of them steered the whole way. Oh, no, they're mad. completely mad. I still don't want to cross an ocean.
No, I wouldn't do it on a boat. Small boat. No.
Yeah, exactly. So we went. I went to England for the baby, which is Lucy, who's now 12, to meet the family in England, and also in Spain, because my dad was living in Spain. Just up the road from where we live now. And then we flew, myself, Lucy, and my mum, Jo, flew across to meet Andrew. And that's where the adventure began.
Wow.
You know? So,
wow.
And yeah.
And how long were you on the boat as a family, the three of you?
So we left in 2008, in I think the October, and then we came back when so we were on the boat for just short of 3 years, and then we were on the boat we got off the boat because I fell pregnant with a second child. At the beginning of 2010. So Sarah was born in Uruguay. And we then got off the boat and lived in a small, completely rural village in Uruguay for a year.
Gosh.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that one. I didn't expect that one. So you managed to make a kid before the adventure, and then you made another kid during the adventure.
There was a bit of planning involved in the second one because those sorts of activities are a little more difficult in a small boat.
That's funny.
Imagine it with your mother there and a baby.
Shopping.
Still,
you know, if you were planning to have another baby, you were still, you know, in uncertain territory. So you were going to keep on sailing. Or so were you decided to finally go back to land?
It's uncertain.
I don't know if you still had any money left.
Not much. Yeah. No, it's a very good question. So we just decided that, well, you know, time doesn't wait for anybody and we want to have a second child, and kind of like age-wise, it's the right time. So, and you also realize kids fit in anyway. And one of the things I've always said is people are like, well,
you put a baby into a boat for 3 years, you know,
they really do. And people always go, oh, how did you manage with a baby? I'm like, well, you can't do anything else when you've got a baby anyway, so you might as well go and travel.
Very good point.
I mean, really.
And then for the baby, you're with them the whole time because they're traveling with you.
When they are younger, they don't eat, you know, they don't poop. Yeah. You know, they just drink your breast milk if you're able to breastfeed.
Exactly.
Them. Just a diaper, so, you know.
Yeah, no, 100%. And so we were really lucky. I mean, we met some absolutely extraordinary people when we were there. And I mean, the people that we met in the village that we stayed in for a year was just so good to us. And really, we're just sort of like second family. And Marina is a godmother to Sarah. And I mean, she was the only person in the village who spoke English. And she's Argentinian. And at that time, we spoke no Spanish. Well, a little bit, because by that stage we'd been in Brazil for 6 months, then Uruguay for 6 months, then back to Brazil again for 6 months, and then finally again, you know, so it was like chopping and changing. And, you know, the languages can really just turn your head into. But finally it was starting to sort of clarify, and we at least knew how to ask for a beer and, you know, a few more things maybe. it's also such a blessing in some ways when you're in a place like that. I mean, you just have to do what you need to do, you know, and you need to speak Spanish. If it's bad or not, you need to speak it because no one's going to understand your English. So, you know, remember, this is a crisis little anecdote. My mum, we were in the shopping centre, and it was a big, people say, what do? And it's like, well, you live when you're away, you know? So a big trip is to the supermarket. So off we went to the supermarket and we were looking for chicken breasts. So we were battling to get the piece of anatomy of the chicken across to the butcher. So my mum's standing there. So she goes, do you pollo, pollo? And of course, so anyway, there's in Spanish, it's pollo. And in South American,
in Portuguese,
it's pollo.
Yeah.
You know, it's an SH style. So anyway, so my mum goes, pollo. And it grabs her breasts and shakes them. Anyway, the butcher just about fell on the floor laughing. And we always had the most brilliant service there. I mean, they knew, you know, it was a very, very, very special and unique time. I mean,
How incredible. Yeah. And so what did you do when you finished traveling? Why did it end? And then what happened to your mother-in-law after that? Like, you must be really close, and that must be quite hard to then not be with your mother-in-law anymore.
Yeah, it was my mum, not my mother.
Oh, your mother. Yeah.
So we ran out of money, basically. We were hoping to do a bit more while we were away, but just didn't quite work out. And so we went back to South Africa to go back to, you know, where we had the best network to get employment again. And what was your other question? Oh, like, what do we do?
Yeah, well, what happened to your mum then? Because you've been with your mother, and that must have been quite hard, spending 3 years with your mother, being really close, she was your nanny, and then suddenly...
Yes. So, I mean, we went back to South Africa. She did go back to England, but she did actually come and live with us for a little while as well. She came back, I think, for about a year and a half. She stayed with us in Cape Town.
So she kind of softened the blow. She came with you, and then when you were... Yes. When your mum was older and everything,
Exactly. So that was great. Yeah, and then, I mean, and we knew we didn't want to, stay in South Africa, sadly, because of many economical and political problems. I mean, I won't go into the details of all of that, but we knew we wanted to move away, you know, from there. And then that's how we ended up again. It was another 5-year plan, really, to end up here.
In Spain. So that was always your plan, to go to Spain.
It wasn't at the beginning, but that was a new plan once we got back to South Africa.
Wow. Are you just now? Do you have any more plans? I mean, do you have a secret little plan brewing at all?
No. Well, the plan at the moment is to really get our. We don't have any types of plans like that. No. I think we're finished with those sorts of like. Kind of really big adventure plans.
Yeah.
Well, for the moment anyway. And we're just really focusing on getting our business going really well, because that's sort of been up and down, and it's taken a good turn now, really.
Yeah.
We've got a business selling products on Amazon, and so I've now started consulting to other businesses, helping them with their products on Amazon, especially people who are not that familiar with Amazon.
Yeah.
So that's really what I'm concentrating on. And then if that goes really well, then we can plan some more traveling with the children.
I mean, that's clearly your thing, is traveling with children. Yeah. Have you written a book about traveling with a baby? I mean, obviously that's is it detail? Because you've done that. Is that really aimed? I mean, like, it seems like you have this expertise about KBB of traveling with a newborn.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I'm the expert. I have to say, I did it, but I don't know how well I did it. Being on a boat with a baby is quite a challenge, because most of the time, so the thing is, people always think, oh, you're on a boat. Oh, like, how can you cope with that? But actually, a lot of the time you're in a harbor. So you've got like maybe say 2 weeks, and maybe 2 or 3 days are traveling, you know, and then you stop at the next port and
you get your food and your things, and then you see the sights. That's the idea, right?
Exactly. Go and investigate what's out there, and you know, you meet people, and depending on how it goes, or depending on what needs fixing on your boat, quite often depends, and if you can get the part for the, depends if you're there for 2 days or 3 months. So we had a few things like that, and then also it depends on the weather as well, because once you decide that you're ready to move on, sometimes you cannot, you know, you can't move because the weather's just not right. It's not a case of, you know, just turning on the ignition and driving up the road. The wind has to be in the right direction. It has to be safe. You know, it depends on the port you're going to, because we didn't go to the Caribbean like most normal people.
Yeah.
We went to some rather odd places and where it's not that easy to get in, and, you know, it's always to get in and out.
Yeah.
So, so that was that.
So, I mean, that is an extraordinary story. Do you look back now and think, wow, how did I do it? Or is it like you look back and go, that was easy? I mean, how, when you look back, do you see it?
I look back and I go, that was amazing. But if I did it again, I think I'd take a cup of bed.
So do you think a little bit, almost optimism got you through the problems rather than being too realistic? I mean, what is it that made you able to do it? Some people are like, that's too hard.
Yeah, you know, it's a very good question. I think one of the things is that it's again wanting to know where you want to get to. So, I mean, we wanted initially to go down to Tierra del Fuego, but it was very, very obvious after about, you know, sort of being there for about 6 weeks that that was completely unrealistic because A, it was, our boat wasn't equipped, B, it wasn't the right place to take a baby, and C, it was way too far away and we were just never going to get there. Yeah. So we just sort of changed what we were aiming at. And said, okay, well, let's just see how far we can get, you know, because obviously a lot of the adventure is the people that you meet along the way and all the things that happen to you. I don't know, just one step in front, you know, one step in front of another.
Yeah, that's really important. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Let me ask you, so do you think that you weren't attached to these big idea of doing that, so it was easy for you to keep changing the plans, because some people get so attached with the dream that they think that the outcome or the
I think the dream was traveling. The dream wasn't like the destination of one place, so it didn't really matter to us exactly what we were doing, you know, when we were there. I mean, we were seeing such amazing things. we weren't like, oh my word, we're missing out on Tierra del Fuego. I mean, we did actually take a car and do a road trip because we did want to go down south, and we went to Bariloche and
beautiful places,
Madrid and all of those places. So we did actually go and see some of those places, but we made sure that we got there, and it wasn't like, oh my word, well, you haven't gone in a boat, so it's not real. I mean, please, what?
Yeah, yeah,
of course,
yeah.
You know, we went to see it. It's great. It wasn't a prize for being, you know, we're not Ellen MacArthur trying to do like around the world and, you know, by ourselves. So I think you just have to be realistic and you have to be flexible, and you just have to, you know, when you have a challenge, you just need to look how you can fix it. There's always a way. There is always, always a way.
What actually, when you look back and when you first sort of decided you wanted to travel, what was behind that? Behind every dream, there's an emotion, there's something we're trying to get. And it's interesting, obviously, you and your husband had the same emotion. There was something that travel brought up. So for, you can't speak for your husband, but what did the idea of adventure and travel mean to you, like inside? What was the emotion, the feelings, the thoughts it stirred?
Yeah, it's a great question. I guess freedom, you know? Just no commitment, no, like I need to clock watch to somebody else who's telling me I need to deliver this and this, you know, and at this time. And the choice to be able to say, okay, well, you know what? This river looks really great. Let's just go up here, you know, or love it here. Let's just stay for another week, you know, or somebody offers us, we met some people in Argentina and he's like, well, just come to our 40th birthday. He invited us to his like private 40th birthday party. And we were like, oh my word, okay, well, we plan to go here, but we'll just change it, you know. It's the freedom to be able to meet people like that is, you know, without all of the deadlines. I mean, that's also, even now, obviously now being self-employed, I mean, I've got a lot of deadlines, a lot of things I need to get done. You know, it was such a privilege to be able to be free and not have nothing, I mean, obviously there's, you know, have nothing major really constricting or saying when you had to be at a certain place.
That's it, isn't it?
I find that so amazing because I'm so structured, you know. It's really it takes some time for me to be that flexible, you know. I'm in the process of learning and I'm much better now, but for me to see that I wanted to go to Tierra del Fuego and not being able to do it, you know, it's kind of a and there is a process to try and see, you know, that freedom is something that I, you know, and the funny thing is that you impose that on yourself, you know. It's very small, the situations that other people do that to you, it still happens, but for people like me that I'm so structured, you know, hearing you say this and I go, oh my god, but didn't fail, you know, and oh my god, the boat, okay. Oh my god, you know.
So, I mean, I think I'm quite, I mean, I will say that, you know, for me, I'm also quite structured. I like to get up in the morning and, you know, get on with the day and have my morning routine. I mean, always trying to improve that, but to a certain extent. And so, and I'm very much a morning person, and my husband's very much an evening person, which has always been a little, you know. And my mum is very much like me, so we're always like, come on, let's get up. What are we gonna do? What's the plan for the day? And then she's like, we need a plan. I'm like, we need a plan. We've got to get stuff done. So even though I say, you know, I'm willing to change, I do also like an element of structure and things in my life, because otherwise I don't think you get the best out of things as well. You know, you can go to all these places and sit in the harbor and never see anything if you're not careful.
Yeah.
So I mean,
at least search a little bit about the place around. So you have to do some type of a, you know, I think it's a good north or a good idea to have like a line, and then when you have that line, you can kind of jump in and out and keep changing it.
I really think the balance is good. You need structure, you need to have that goal, because otherwise you're never going to go anywhere. But it's very, very likely that it's going to change as you go along, and that's okay. You just need to, you know, to assess where you are and take it from there.
Do you have any dreams that you still have that are burning dreams that you haven't done? Is there anything like, oh, that's an incredible dream come true that you made happen? Is there anything that, for various reasons, that so far you haven't done that you'd still like to do? Is there anything else? There's no adventures planned, but is there any dreams, even a small dream?
Really thought about that properly for a little while, which is a good lesson. I think because we've been sort of, you know, with COVID and also because when we moved to Spain, we kind of moved without a lot of financial backing. You know, we kind of said we're going now because of the age of the kids. You want to get them into a Spanish school, and it's, you know, my oldest daughter was then 8, and we really, really wanted her to get into school. We didn't even want to wait another year. So we moved, we got here, and, you know, it hasn't, we are living in, I mean, again, we live in the most beautiful village in Granada, and we're very, very happy here. It's got a trout and caviar farm in it, if you can actually believe it. It's the only place outside of Russia that sells organic, that is certified to sell organic Russian caviar. Wow. So anyway, that's another story. You go, it's a beautiful village, and it's filled with restaurants because every weekend it's filled with Spanish tourists. But I digress. So we came here, and we came here. So the last four and a half years have been quite hard work, just in terms of business and that sort of thing. But I think things are finally, you know, sort of getting a life of their own. And yes, I mean, our dreams now in terms of unfulfilled dreams, it would be camper vanning with the kids around Europe, you know, in the long summer holidays where it's unbearably hot here. You know, so they're not, I mean, that for me is a big enough dream to really see come true. And barging, we really want to go barging. We want to do, again, it's more travel stuff. So it's really the main focus for the next sort of, the main focus is to really get the business going at a level that we can go and do that with the children. Because So Lucy, my oldest daughter, is always quite bleak, quite unhappy that we went and did all that when she was so small, because she doesn't really remember it. You know, she remembers, she remembers the pictures. She has the glimpse of a memory here. You know, she went to nursery school in the village in Uruguay, in Colonia Valdense.
I'm sure she'll have some similar adventure in her life.
I hope so.
I just wanted to ask, do you think that you, in the all the success that you are having or the work that you are doing, do you use the same approach, or do you think that this being an adventure, it was easy to have all this motivation and inspiration, but maybe with more mundane things like having to work and having to plan a business, is it harder for you, or you do you have the same inspiration and motivation and see it as an adventure?
That's an excellent question. I again have never thought about it like that. I definitely.
Sorry, I tend to do that a lot. I don't plan on it. I love it happens.
Well, then you've got the perfect job. That's amazing. You know, I definitely have massive drive for my business, massive drive, and I'm very thankful for it because it carries me. I don't have quite the same picture of where I'm going, and I should have. So guess what I'll be doing this week? I know that I need that, I do have the same drive and of the vision that I want to I have the same drive, but I don't possibly have the same like, oh, I sat down and thought about, okay, this is where I want to be in 5 years, which I really do need to do. And I do know that I need to.
Yeah, maybe actually it will be more inspiring to have that same feeling that you had when you wanted to plan that adventure, you know, to have that
100%.
Like, people use that vision board and things like that, or the house that you would like to have, or the village.
We've done all of that stuff. I've done all the vision board. I've done all the planning for our business for sort of like 5 years time. That stuff we have done. But what's actually happened is my business has shifted a bit, and I haven't really done that. You know, I haven't really mapped the new business out to that same vision. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah. Very nice to be able to help. Oh, that's great.
Wow. Okay, so, I'm just exhausted. I'm like, wow, I've been around the world with you, I've gone to South America, raised two children, I've gone to Spain. And I mean, the word that comes up for me in listening to you is that you are a life designer, and you designed your life. And you are a natural life designer. And that's sort of what I'm starting to see, that some people design their lives and other people, their life designs them.
That's so interesting.
That's so nice. Oh, that's really good, Lisa. That's really good. Yeah.
You gave me a big hug, baby.
It's really interesting, and it's really powerful, because Andrew and I have talked a lot about, because people ask us again and again and again, how did you do it? That's what they ask. And I'm like, we sat down and we planned it. We knew how much it was going to cost, and we knew what we needed, just like any project.
Like a business. And it was like a business project, but it was an adventure project, but like any project.
100%. You know, right. The funny thing is that when you have this natural ability to do it, you think that everybody has that, but it's not true. It's actually an ability. It's one of those soft skills, you know, that, you know, before, when I was younger, people in their resume, they put like their achievements and their sales and their PhDs and their degrees and this and that. But now, these days, people are learning that what you actually need is these soft skills that help you manage your own life and manage your own situation. So, you know, it was an interesting question, because I wanted to see or to ask you if you have anything in your life, maybe either emotional, because we know that the business-wise and adventure-wise and that type, you manage it well. But do you think, is there another part of your life that you are not able to manage in the same way? Like maybe emotional, or maybe habits, or maybe something like that? Because people now actually are more, I know it wasn't easy to do the adventure or to go in the adventure, but since you felt it so compelling and so big, whatever hardship you went through, it wasn't hard. Do you know what I mean?
I understand exactly what you mean. And as a youngster, as sort of in my early 20s, I had quite a bad batch of, or maybe even a little bit earlier than that, quite a bad batch of depression. And I think most people go through it at some stage or other in their life. And I went the normal route, and you know, went to the doctor, and he prescribed me some pills, and I went home and I sort of felt a bit better, but I didn't really feel better at all, because there was just this level of that I was just took away. It did this instead of doing this. I just did this. So it took the dips away, but it also took the highs away. So And I was like, no, this is not what I am about, and I need to find another way. And that was my that was how I sort of discovered Reiki. And I had a family friend, and she did Reiki, and she said, oh, I can help you. You come and, you know, come for some hands-on healing. And I went, and the first time I had it, I was just absolutely blown away. I just felt safe. You know, I just felt safe and happy. And it was just, you know, sort of this, you just lie on this bed and you just feel in the sort of energetic, happy bubble. And I knew that I was going to, I went and did my courses, and they're not very long courses. I went and did my courses, and I had a small practice at home, and it was lovely. And I absolutely loved my energy work. And that helped me through a lot of things, a lot of emotional, not just the depression. It helped me learn a lot of other things about myself and why I behaved in certain ways or didn't behave in certain ways. And I've been really fortunate, I think, because I had that at quite an early time in my life, and it gave me a huge tool to deal with those emotional hard times, you know. I mean, Andrew and I have been married, we've just had our 19th wedding anniversary, and you know, being married for 19 years to anybody, it has its ups and downs, you know. And really, that the Reiki's helped me with that. And we've got, I mean, I'm very fortunate. I've got a hugely strong friends support base. So we've worked sort of quite hard to be where we are, but generally speaking, I think I'm okay. Is that okay to say that? You know?
Yeah,
it's great. Yes, it's great, because that is actually why you are okay, because you already think that generally you are going to be okay. So that actually is what you're setting out to the world, and the world is giving it to you, you know, because you, that's what your mindset.
And it's not just, I mean, there's some other things, like, I mean, I ride here, not at the level that I used to ride, but I ride here casually with my daughter, and I help us school a youngster up the road for somebody who's got a yard, and I do that, and that helps me. And I run, and my running and cycling helps me. And I know how important that is. You know, it's like how Tony Robbins talks about, you know, and at the moment, you know, about the body and the mind. You're one thing, you know, you can't just expect everything from here to be okay when there's all this bit that's got to function. I mean, hello, you know, so I mean, there's that whole thing, and so those disciplines of exercise, and we all go up and down. We all fall into pits where it's a bit of a disaster, and then we pull ourselves back up again. I think that's the other thing, is to understand that human nature. You know, things are going to get bad, but they're going to get better again. You just have to keep working towards it, and sometimes it's easier than other times, you know. So, but having that support network to be able to pull on or to draw on is very, very important as well, because you know, when you're down, it's not easy to feel that you can ever be up again, you know. So to be able to have the support mechanisms in place to know to get that help when you need it.
It's so true. Gosh, oh my God, we have been chatting for like an hour. So
oh my word, look at that.
Your time, my goodness.
Thank you for listening to the Dream Team podcast. You can catch Lisa and Marissa every Monday and Thursday. Don't forget to subscribe and review, and dream on.